last Sunday, we talked about faith, basically. Faith and works. So I'm going to ask for readers. So
who will read for me?
Excellent. Alan, would you read? Romans 4, 1 through 8. And Dustin, would you read James 2, 14 through 16? Who else will read?
Go ahead, Charlie.
That'll be 25, Matthew 25, 34 through 46. Matthew 25, 34 through 46. Okay, Alan. Romans 4, 1 through 8. Mm-hmm.
What then shall we say that Abraham our father is found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from his works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord shall not impute sin.
Okay. I plan on this being a quick review of kind of what we did last week. At the end, go ahead with James 2, 14 through 16.
What good is it, my brother, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is fully clothed and lacking in daily food, and one says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself.
Okay, so we have what could seem like a conflict. Romans says, works isn't it. Works isn't it. And James said, works is it. Because faith without works is dead. So what is that? Where does that leave us?
There are a lot of people who believe faith, but that doesn't mean, and it can be a faith, a Christian faith to some degree, but it isn't an active, sincere Christian faith. I don't know what other adjectives to use, but it's kind of like, yeah, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, I believe we should all be Christians.
So what did Dustin read the very first part of that again?
What good is it, my brother, if someone says...
There you go. If someone says.
Yeah. Speaking it is not enough.
No, speaking it is not enough. Yes. And the other thing I wanted to bring out here is in what Alan read in chapter 4, verse 4, now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. And who counts them as debt? Does this reflect God's attitude or the person's attitude?
I think it should be our attitude that we owe that debt.
Well,
what we receive.
Yes, but you're saying if we do works to him who does works, now to him who works, the wages that he gets are not counted as grace but as debt. So, does God feel like he owes us something because we work? Or is that us that feel like God owes us something because we worked? Where does that attitude come from?
It's neither one of those things you said.
Really?
No.
Well, I think for the person who says they have faith and does works, I think they get the attitude that they are owed.
That's not what it means for you.
No, that's right. That's right.
But it's not that God owes us anything either.
He can't owe us.
No. That's why I thought you said the first thing.
Oh, no. What I was saying was that the attitude of the guy who thinks he's going to get there with his works is that God owes him.
And that would be inaccurate.
That would be inaccurate because God doesn't owe anyone. So this is what is wrong with works. Works are good done through faith. Works are not good if you have the attitude that God owes me because I have done works.
There's still good works, and there are lots of good people who do lots of good things and have no faith. And so their works are just works.
That's right.
Kind acts.
Right.
And we can praise them for being kind and good.
Right.
And they should be praised for being kind and good. But it isn't done in the kind of faith that's supposed to generate those acts.
Right. Now, a lot of works were done yesterday. A lot of works were done yesterday and leading up to yesterday throughout that whole coat drive thing. And if you ask in a month, if you ask some of them what they did, they would probably say, I don't remember. Because they weren't doing it to create an account, a bottom line, a note, that commissary note that God owes them. They're not doing that. They're just doing. And they're doing because of faith. Now we're going to look at people who do because of faith and people who do because they want to keep an account so they can take it to God and say, okay, you should pay me now. Okay, Charlie, go ahead. Is that 46? Was it verse 46? 45. Okay. So what we have two separate groups of people here. One of the groups said, when did we do these things for you? Because they really didn't know. And another group said, when didn't we do? Because they were keeping a tally. And that's why I mentioned the people who had done the work building up to this coat drive and the coat drive in a month will probably say, when did I do that? Because they'll probably have forgotten a lot of what they did, which is good because they're not keeping a tally. Any? Yes?
Yeah, I think there's a third kind of person to work, and that person may be the fourth. But a believing person. I think we have people who work not because they want to, not because they're keeping an account, but purely out of a sense of obligation. They think it's expected of them. And I'm not sure that's a good way to do your work either. If you feel like you must and you would rather not,
No, you're right. So, you know, we talk about talents, and we've had sermons on talents, and God's given you talent, and He expects you to use this talent in the kingdom. And you go, well, I'm really good at whatever, but you don't really want. really don't want to do that, but after a while, you're like, you know, is it my own laziness? Is it, what is it? What is it that makes me not want to do that? And so you do. You decide, okay, well, God gave me the talent. I need to use that for His glory, and I will do it. And so I believe there are those people, too, who have faith.
And they might change, too. Once they start doing out of the obligation, there are those who sometimes go the other direction and find that they want to do, but not everybody.
Right.
We're all peculiar people.
Right.
Anyway.
I've always been under the impression that if you did something that you didn't want to do, like did something good or not do something bad for God, like an opportunity might come up and has come up. Probably every one of you has experienced this if you live very long, where you get too much change at the store. I don't want to give that back, but I'm going to because of God. Herman.
I'm sorry, there are a whole bunch of things running through my mind. I've got to narrow it down to a little thing.
Okay.
I thought of a person that I worked with for, I don't know, more than a year, who said, God owes me. I've been through all of this, and he's saying out loud, God owes me. And I was never able to convince that person that God owed him nothing. In fact, he hadn't done very well with the opportunity that he had. The second thing is that I know all of us are familiar with the book of Job. And the book of Job fits in all this we're talking about. Because Job did what he did because of his faith in God. And nothing stopped him. We see the beginning, we see the middle, and we see the end of what happened to Job. And that is a lesson for us in the things we're talking about here.
Yeah. Okay. Buckley.
I concur with what Molly Herman said. I believe there are many people that do good things for others, and it has nothing to do with love. It has nothing to do with God is expecting them to do this. In Matthew 7:21, it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work in iniquity. So number one, they were doing their own agenda, not what God wanted them to do. Number two, they were not doing it out of love.
So how much could they do outside of love? What could they do that still wouldn't profit them?
Everything we can do without love.
Doesn't profit us. Even giving our bodies to be burned.
Right. Amen.
Yeah.
What about those outside the body of Christ? And they say it's from God, and they love, and all of that. Same thing that we do. Does that not see on the arm, or does it just put the body of Christ itself?
Well, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Yeah. Okay, are they outside? They're outside the body, you say. Well, if they have faith in God, then they're not outside the body.
Probably one of his good stuff.
that is, we as a corporate body in Christ, we know what we can see. We know what we can see. We know who was here in Scotland. Y'all know who was there knows who else was there. That's a corporate effort, and that was a good work. But we know who was not here. And I was not here, and I'm not saying in this words you're going to judge me. I'm not worried about it at all. But my point is, we have to be really careful about judging what we can't see. Because Buckley does good works with his ministry that he does, and you don't even know probably the half of what he does every time.
Right.
And he's very busy. So works is not just corporate. It is works that we do at home, what we do in secret, in quiet, and privately. We're talking about good works that are done right with a good heart. And I think that what Buckley read in Matthew 7 about you will know them by their fruits and all of this, it just should go without saying with spiritually minded mature Christians.
Right.
Try.
I listened to a sermon 40 years ago by a brother in the name of God, Ben Cable, a psychologist. And he had a sermon on this. And it was scoop shovels.
Scoop shovels.
Scoop shovels. You cannot have the shovel of the Lord.
No.
No matter how much, and it will always come back to you, and you use all these verses that we're drawing for you.
Mm-hmm. Right. 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 So God offers us promises, and there are things that God has promised. If you do this, then He will do that. But going into the activity with the idea that, hey, there's going to be a return here, that's not doing it in love either. Maybe love for yourself. Tom?
I'll just share a story a little bit. This happened to me probably a couple months ago. And more, I'm not trying to toot my own horn or anything, but I went to the bank, got a check out, got some money. I normally would count my money before I leave. And I counted, and she gave me $20 extra. I got my money, then I went back around. And she was totally surprised that I gave her, I told her, oh, you gave me $20 extra. $20 isn't really a whole lot, but to them, that's overkill. And when you go overkill or underkill, you actually can get help with you enough times, you end up with problems. So sometimes just that kindness, I think, and you may, I never know what transpired from her, or that gift that he gave her, ultimately, is a gift back to her.
Right.
That can make a difference in somebody's life.
Yeah. I was going to say about that when we do something like that we don't want to do, I had an experience with that, and I had my son with me. He's my grown son. And I wanted to be sure. I took the ticket. I wanted to be sure I got some discount they were offering. And I looked at that ticket, and I thought, they didn't charge me for the steel post. I was still in the parking lot. And I'm like, and he goes, are you going back? I go, yeah. I said, I don't want to. I didn't have time. I was in a hurry. But I'm going back. So I went back in there and did that. Now, if you don't want to do something and you do it because it's right and because of God, I believe you'll be blessed for it. And I don't believe you're doing it for the blessing, though. I believe if you do it because it's the right thing and God, and you're doing it for God. Joe.
Came and what was his
encouraging the other brethren to support him and take care of him and give him bread and stuff. And so the end result of all of that, he says, do not associate with him.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty severe. And the passage that Buckley read and was read over here, basically it's pretty severe. Not to do spiritual work, church work. It's just as severe. You know, we have an obligation to be involved in the spiritual side of our work. And so the idea about works without faith being dead, or you don't have to work out, I've had Baptist friends say that they're practical, believe that they're saved by their works, you know, because we believe in baptism.
Right.
And I've heard all of these accusations made back and forth against folks about works, but the truth of the matter is, we're obligated. We love the Lord. We're obligated to work and serve. And opportunities will avail themselves upon you if your heart's right with the Lord.
Right. I believe also about what Joe said, I think we need to be careful about judging people. I insured a Baptist church one time, and when it was all over, the guy firmly said, I want you to know that I don't believe the Church of Christ people will be the only ones in heaven. I'm like, what? Where did that come from? Yeah. It was crazy. I'm like, okay. Okay, now I'm going to take us through an exercise that I hope will shed some light on some things. We're going to start in Romans 3. Romans 3, 21 through 22. And I'm going to read these. Now, I'm going to read these probably 10 verses. After each verse, I'm going to look up and if the hand is raised because you have a comment, perfect. Romans 3, 21 through 22. And we're going to look for faith here. That's what we're looking for, faith. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, there is no difference. Chapter 3, verse 25. Whom God set forth, Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Verse 26. To demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Verse 28. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the debts of the law. Verse 30. Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Moving on now to chapter 4, verse 5. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Chapter 4, verse 11. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of those who believe, though they were uncircumcised, they are uncircumcised, and that righteousness might be imputed to them also. 4:13. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Verse 16, chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham.
I got my hand up.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so my thought that just went through my head.
Yes.
Is the thing that when these discussions come up.
Yes.
That pits grace versus faith. I remind myself that you really cannot have one
without the other. Yeah. Unmerited favor will not come without faith. Any other sign? I probably forgot to lift my head up. Look up. Anyway. Thanks for yelling. Chapter 4, verse 20 to 25. He did not waver at the promise of God, Abraham. Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. That was not written for his sake alone, that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered because of our offenses, and was raised because of our justification. There are some really powerful things here. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace. There you go. Access by faith to the grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So, Buckley.
Well, I'm way back several verses.
Okay, where you at? Where you at? Okay. When belief is used as faith, that is absolutely true. Joe. Well, but when belief is used as faith, if the word can be...
The word believe in the original language means a mental assent, a mental acknowledgement, a mental assent.
Okay.
Faith is action.
So they cannot be used the same. Okay, well, there you go. Yeah. Okay.
Where's the test knowledge?
When you reach a point in your life where you understand who God is, you have a test knowledge. When you accept Him by faith and pursue the Christian life and become a Christian, then you see the experience in the action.
I think we really agree with
this. Made a difference.
Okay.
I'm good with that.
You know, it's kind of refreshing to see and hear the words, "I completely disagree with that." Everybody's cool. That's great.
You know, along with that, I think also it's that just like Joe just said, and Buffy, you know, we're saying pretty much kind of the same thing. I say that to you. But the faith and belief are two different
things.
Because when you have faith in something, you work to make that happen. Because you have faith that something's going to happen.
Right. Right.
That no matter what, you're going to be working to do that. And you're going to, so you ain't wrong about your faith. So when you have faith in the Lord, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, look at this. Here is faith. Abraham, Genesis 17:5. You don't need to go there. I'm going to read it. It says, as it is written, this is again quoted in Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. God was saying this. Now, he did not have children at the time. But God, in God's mind, he says, you are already a father of many nations.
A good discussion of this, and I want to remind everyone that faith is a noun, belief is a verb. So we need to keep that in mind as we work through all of these things. Belief is the verb. Faith is the noun. Belief gets you the faith, which is the noun where you stand. Like Abraham did. He believed God, and God counted it to him for what?
Righteousness.
So, believing God put Abraham in a position of standing in faith. And thus, throughout the Bible, he becomes the father of the faith.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Galatians
3. Right.
Many other things could be said, but
yeah, we're out of time. Okay, I'm going to pray and we'll be done. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the faith we have. And we pray, Father, you'll increase it many times more.
Amen.
We thank you, Father, for the love that we have and the motivation that it gives us. And we pray you'll increase our love many times more. Love for each other and love for you. Father, it is our goal to please you in all we do. We pray, Father, that you'll direct us by your Spirit. We thank you for that. We thank you for your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.